Pluto.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the only show that matters. Welcome to the Schmodown Rundown, the official episode of the Movie Trivia Schmodown. My name is Brad Gilmore, but you might know me by another name. You might know me as La Boat.
Oh, my God, you're my dreamboat, for sure.
You're a slacker, Brad.
And as always, I am joined from across the pond, right here. Last week, it was all about the Irish. This week, we are doing a British takeover, an invasion. Her name is Steph Sabraw.
Let's get classy. Hello, boys from across the pond.
Hello, miss.
I definitely have to try so unbelievably hard to not throw out a Cockney accent to everybody I meet. I want to walk into every store and be like, hello, it's me.
First time in England?
Yeah.
First time. Oh, okay. Now, here's my thing. I would want to learn Cockney rhyming slang.
Huh.
Right?
Yeah.
You know about this?
No.
So, like, they look up Cockney rhyming slang. They will say, like, whistle and flute. Look at the bloke over there. He's got a great whistle and flute. And you're like, wait, what? What does that mean? A whistle and flute means suit. If you say ham and eggs, it means legs. Stuff like that. It doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't matter. I don't know. Look into it, Steph.
Plates of meat are feet. Okay.
What is it?
Plates of meat are feet.
Plates of meat are feet. There you are. Also joining us, his name is Frankie Numbers.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know what? From now on, just stick to the horn. Don't even do the other thing. Just the horn. There you go. Yeah. No whisper counting for me. I'm good. I'm good.
No, we heard that you like ASMR.
Well, that's not.
1, 2.
Golly, what are we doing? All right, that's. Jesus Christ!
So what's up, everybody? This is why we won an award.
Yeah, this is exactly for this type of thing. Yes.
This is why we did it.
Of course.
We are coming to you live.
Wink, wink.
Here on the Movie Trivia Schmodown YouTube channel, following the big pay-per-view extravaganza, which saw two members of Corruption battling, one for a championship and one for an opportunity to get to a championship. In some regard. So we're going to talk about both of those matches here today. What should we start with, Frank? I'm going to throw it to you. What do we start with? Do we start with what we just saw, or do we start with the first match? Because also joining us here in a little bit will be Shannon Barney,
yeah.
Queen of Corruption, going to be giving her first thoughts post-pay-per-view, which was a rough day for her, a rough evening, if you will.
I think we got to start with the title match that is the title match of all title matches, Brad. Steph, I don't know how. Oh, we've just entered
the title match zone.
The title match zone, exactly.
This
the title
is
match zone.
The title match zone.
That's right,
saying, Frank.
What was I saying? What was I? Greatest title match of all time. There it is. I don't care.
Whoa.
The greatest title match of all time. That it hit the no sound effect for that. What are you doing?
Whoa! What?
It's an all timer. It's an all timer, Brad.
Greatest title match, singles or greatest any title match?
Any title match, even better than 5150, Damon DeMolanta. I'll even say that.
Can you give me your reasons? Like, what makes it the greatest title match? Like, how are you considering that?
The reason is because I said so.
Oh
no! It's a little bit of that, and also,
all right, stop mansplaining to us, Frank.
I'm not.
Listen, close your legs. You're manspreading right now.
Oh boy. So greatest title match of all time ever. Better than 5150. Better than other title matches that are not coming to my mind right now. But I guarantee you, if I go back and look, this one is better than those other ones. I mean, it had everything, including everything correct. And that's never happened in a singles title match. It's never happened in a title match ever, anywhere, any division, any place.
Strictly by the numbers.
Strictly by the numbers. Marisol got everything correct. Sam got everything correct. And yes, the deciding factor is the speed round, which we're going to have to talk about, obviously. Because depending on how you do your own math, for the other Schmodown statisticians out there who love the numbers just as much as I do, we can have differing stances on how to calculate a PPE percentage when it comes to the betting round and the speed round. Now, the way I've always done it is if a player, let's say for the betting round, if a player bets three and another player bets two, they both get it right. I'm not docking the player who bet two a point because they didn't bet three. That's based on a strategic type of element of the game, not necessarily indicative of the question difficulty, right? You know, three-point question or a two-point question. That's neither that nor there. Brad, is there something else you need to attend to?
No, I just
you gotta take. Do you gotta take your medicine?
I just need to take me vitamins.
Yeah, your vitamins. Yeah.
Your vitamins, yeah. My vitamins.
Yeah, yeah.
But Frank, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you invent PPE?
I did, Brad.
So back, how the hell can anybody calculate it differently?
Well, I mean, because it's not, I invented it, and then people, you know, it's like in Jurassic Park, you know, when you have the technology, you have the capability, and then you expand upon it. They didn't think about whether or not that they could. They didn't think whether or not that they should, Brad, okay? So with that in mind, the speed round, look, Marisol only got one point out of the available five there. Sam picked up the other four. I think we just need to jump right into it. The Evan Almighty, Bruce Almighty guess.
Talk about it.
Actually, I want to ask.
Stop. Go for it. Yeah.
I wanted to ask Steph because we were both there for this.
Talk about
and
it.
When that moment happened, Steph, what did you think was happening? Because barely any of the question got out.
Yeah.
You know, and he's already buzzing in. What did you think?
I was confused. It took me like 10 seconds to register. It took me until he got the point and had the visible reaction of surprise that he guessed the right movie.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine his process of elimination was, it's probably too easy to guess the first of the franchise. It's probably the second one. Like, if you're going that quickly in your mind, I don't know.
Right.
And I just was like, wow, that was just such a shot in the dark by him. Like, there was like less than, it wasn't like a 50-50 at that point. It was like, you didn't even hear the, for it to be a 50-50, you have to hear the full question. Like, I feel like sure, you didn't hear the full question. So I was like, oh my God. But then it makes you like, what I loved about it was that's what makes the game different than everything else that we have available to us, because that is like, all sports require some amount of luck. There's talent, yeah. There's confidence, there's your squad, and then there's luck. And that was luck. And he even said it.
Well, yeah, we know luck's involved in it, Frank, but how many words actually ended up getting out?
We only got up to the director, and it ended right at Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Just that alone, and then to buzz in and then just go, Evan Almighty. Why not? Like, why would they ask a Bruce Almighty question like that? I think, and like, the brain synapses have to be firing so quickly that you're running through all of that, and then he just goes, Evan Almighty. And he got it right. And had he gotten it wrong, that's a two-point swing, which, if you go through the rest of the match the way it plays out, he would still win by 1 point. However, I think in that moment, though, it can change your strategy. If he gets that wrong, if he loses a point there,
He might not get the next one.
He may be a little more reserved, right, in answering the next question and there on out for the fifth question too. And perhaps Marisol, you know, can capitalize on that. Or maybe she sits back and goes, let's see what he does on this fourth question. If he gets that, then I'll come in on the fifth question. And I'll be a little more prepared. So that, I think, changes so much of the mentality of playing the rest of that round. But I think perhaps maybe it gave Sam even a bigger boost of confidence to play the rest of the round the way that he did, because he dominated that round 4-1, and that ultimately I think gave him the momentum, obviously the lead, but gave him the momentum to carry it on through and bring home that strap.
It was an incredible sight to see, not only the match itself, obviously. I mean, to go perfect is very difficult in this game. To go perfect in a five-rounder is extremely difficult in this game. For both players to go perfect in a five-round contest is unheard of. And I get why, Frank, you say it's better than the 51-50 match for that stat alone. I mean, it was one of the things where I wasn't there in person. I watched, like everybody else who's here in the beautiful chat right now. I see you people out there. Justin is a square. All the other people. Steve.
Ed,
Haskell, 420. Still don't know what those three numbers mean back-to-back, but it's something. But so I saw it like that. I was one of those things. I was in shock watching it, thinking, have you ever seen, like, I don't know if either one of y'all ever went to a carnival. I don't know if they had carnivals in Chicago or San Diego. But in H-Town.
There's a carnival at United Center. We come to town and go to the United Center, dude.
Well, that's not a carnival.
Have you heard of the Del Mar Fairgrounds? Oh,
that's a circus. Oh, yeah, we had a carnival at the school. Yeah, anyways, whatever.
Who did the other one of y'all ever in? No, it didn't matter. But you know when you go to the carnival and they had all the little activities and there was the egg race?
Sure. Yeah.
Right? And the object
spoon.
Was.
One spoon, yeah.
Object was, yeah. You run and you try not to drop the egg, right? I felt like I was watching a Schmodown egg race. Right, both of these players were like running on a razor's edge, right, trying not to drop the egg, right, and I was just waiting for one of them to drop the egg, but they never really dropped the egg. The eggs were intact, yet it was a photo finish at the end. Now, Frank, people are going to say this, and so I want you and Steph to both react to it, and you give me your analysis, but Frank. Last year on this show, this is why I'm going to you first, we debated quite heavily the fast money version of the speed round and the traditional buzzer version of said speed round. This, I can already see, is going to be a topic of conversation amongst the masses because Sam did win. He absolutely won. Did he win because he knew more than Marisol, or did he win because he was a little bit faster than Marisol? Do you give any credence to the argument that this is a good reason for why we should still have the fast money round?
This is the perfect example of why not to have the first fast money round. Because we would still be playing this damn game. We would still be playing the game. And here's the thing that I think people need to remember about this game is that the Schmodown is not entirely about, do you know more than the other person? Right. That's not exactly what this game is about. No. It's about how good are you at playing the game, irrespective of how much you know. It's important that you know a lot in order to play this game well. Many people have come into this game knowing a lot. Have never won a belt.
Never.
Have never done it. Never. Why? Because they lack expertise in certain areas of the game. Whether it's about checking down multiple choice, utilizing your repeats, your challenges, how well you play in the speed round. You know, what do you bet one, two, three, or 0 points in the betting round. There's all these other things that come into play for the game. Right now, Sam LaVine is the best player in the game because he beat Marisol at the game. He didn't necessarily beat her in knowledge. That's not, I don't even want to have that discussion because that's illogical to me at this point. Sam LaVine is the best player to play the game today because he beat Marisol in the game. Mm-hmm. They both answered everything that was asked to them. If you take, you know, the speed round out of it, that's its own little thing. And that helps decide, in especially in situations where both players know a lot, you somehow have to find out how to make that separation. And the speed round is the perfect way to do it. It's exciting. It was exhilarating. Being in that room, watching it all go down. I mean, the first three questions, right? Sam, Marisol, Sam with that huge guess. And you're like, holy crap. And then he rounds out the rest of the round, getting questions 4 and 5. But then Marisol hits her 2, 3, and 5. Sam hits his 2, 3, and 5 to win the game because he had the lead coming out of that speed round. So this is a perfect example of why not to have fast money because, well, you can say, oh, well, we go to sudden death and it'd been like 20 rounds of sudden death. I'm sorry. After like 5 questions, 10 questions maybe, I'm done with sudden death. I'm like, let's get this over with. I'm done. I want to have a finish at the end of round 5, and that's what we got because we did not have the fast money round. I did not know you were going to ask this question, Brad, but man, I got a little too animated for this.
You said a lot. Just note for everybody out there, Frank does not like to do multiple rounds. He just wants to get it over with. That's
wow.
You know what, Brad?
You said it. You said it. I'm just repeating it.
But you know what? Guess what? At the end of it, you were still satisfied.
Were you, though?
It's a good point.
Were you, though? Steph, I'm sure you were satisfied by this match. And, of course, Frank's answer was phenomenal. It was a great answer. We like to play with the
fast. He got the job done, I guess, is what we're surmising.
Surmise is another great word. But talk to me about what Frank was saying. Do you think that there's any credence to the speed round, although it's part of the game? It doesn't necessarily determine who knows the most. And isn't this the World Championships of movie trivia?
I know. I've been going back and forth on it. And because I was thinking to myself, is there anything Marisol could have done if it wasn't for the speed round? And I don't think the answer is yes. I don't think she could have done anything else. I think it really was just about Sam being on fire. His recall that day and every day we've seen him, frankly, is probably the fast. It's like if you do like a duel, like I feel like you're going to get shot by Sam. He's the quickest in the game right now. Like it was unbelievable to watch him do that speed round. And although I love the most knowledgeable winning, because I think that's super worthy and there's like a lot of value to that, I think for the longevity of the game, knowing that entertainment has to be a priority, it's a better game like this. And I just think about like with soccer, like, you know, you're never satisfied after PKs because it doesn't tell you. At that point, you're just going back and forth on kicks. And I feel like that's how sudden death can be a lot of the times.
Yeah.
You're just going back and forth and it's cool for a little bit, but then at the end, it's just not as satisfying. It's less satisfying to lose like that, even though that could be more knowledge based because it's just like, it's so drawn out. It's longer than being like a little of this is out of my control, which is a part of every sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. It is a part of every sport. And although I like to stir the proverbial pot, I do think that the speed round, the way that it's originally constructed, is the best version in a in-person environment. Of course, I don't agree with that. In a digital atmosphere, congratulations to Sam LaVine, who risked a lot by coming back and now has further cemented his legacy. And I think has automatically leapfrogged several people to get back into one of those Mount Rush Schmo. What do we call it? Schmo Rush?
I don't care. I'm just calling it top five. That's all I'm calling.
Sam, I have to give Sam – Marisol's always one of the classiest players ever.
Oh, she's so great.
But Sam was fabulous. Sam said and respected Marisol any way any normal person with a brain would. But, like, you know, there's a lot of people – in the league who don't care about like what someone has done, and they would trash talk Marisol, and someone like Sam could have, because he is one of the best to ever do it. But like, he really came to her like eye to eye level, like full on respect. And it made me respect both of them even more.
Yeah. I think when you look at Marisol's resume, one thing that's interesting when you look at her record compared to every other singles champion, Marisol is the only player to win that belt and to have never had a decision via TKO or KO in her favor, right? Which means she's always grinding it out, always going to the limit. She's always playing tough competition. She played Bonnie one of her first matches, but that's a tune-up kind of thing. And look, she ended up getting the belt after that. But,
boom.
You know, she's one of the – she might – I think there's an argument to be made. She might be the second, if not third, best singles champion in Shimodan history. And that's only coming to question – I would – if she had won this match – and if it played out the exact same way, or at least if round four was reversed, Sam goes perfect, she goes perfect, but she gets the dub. She's automatically, in my eyes, the second best singles champion of all time. Because if you win a match when your opponent still hasn't missed anything, I think that adds so much to your championship legacy.
Oh, yes.
And likewise, it does add a lot for Sam, but like in a different way, because he's coming back from such a long layoff, a retirement. He went perfect against Barbarian. He went perfect against Marisol, right? You know, they talked about in the match, 48 answer streak for Sam right now, dating back to his last four questions of sudden death against Clark Wolf, you know, just before he retired. So, I mean, the guy is on an absolute heater right now. I think there is, it's obviously Dan Merle's the greatest single champion of all time. No doubt about it. Number two, is it Sam Levine or is it Marisol McKee? I think in the moment I want to say Sam Levine, because he's got this type of win over, and it's only bolstered by the fact that Marisol has the resume that she does, right? Mm-hmm. So it only adds more to Sam's legacy in that regard. But I still think you could make an argument that Sam and Marisol could be number two or number three single champion of all time. I would still give the edge to Levine, but I think you could make a really good argument for Marisol being number two all time.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. And something that we were discussing off air, Sam Levine is featured in the United States of Insanity, an Insane Clown Posse documentary.
Wow.
Wait, no way.
Sam Levine is in it.
A man of many talents and knowledge.
I'm sure that's actually news to him. No idea.
One other thing I want to point out about this particular singles title match, we point out 100% accuracy on both players, 100% PP on both players. There's only been one ever perfect accurate title match performance, and that was by Dan Merle against Ethan Irwin back in 2019, the start of that year, when Merle had to win it off of Ethan Irwin. He went 100% accurate, but his PPE was at 96%, so he wasn't perfect. This match, obviously perfect across the board, but when you look at PPE, combined PPE for a match between two players, the highest combined PPE for a title match in singles division was 85.9%. That's the second, that used to be the highest combined PPE for a title match, and that was between Adam Collins trying to defend against Dan Merle, which Dan Merle obviously won that one. So that means there's no other match that's close within 15% of PPE. Is the second highest PPE rate in a title match, because now this is obviously number one with 100% PPE. But the second closest is this match, Adam Collins, Dan Merle, with basically 86% PPE. And nothing else. There's nothing else even close to what we saw today.
Well, what historic. I think is historic, and look, there's still more to talk about, but I think right now we should bring in our special guest this evening. She is obviously the leader of corruption. I want to hear what Shannon Barney has to say about tonight's pay-per-view event. And she joins us now exclusively here on the Shmodown Rundown to talk about her thoughts, feelings, and opinions after our pay-per-view event. The leader of corruption, the two-time faction of the year, of course, joins us now, Shannon Barney. Shannon, how are you?
Hello, ladies and gents. I'm okay. How are y'all?
Good. Well, we're good. We just watched an incredible pay-per-view event. Already, people are talking about matches of the year, contenders, and things of that nature. Kind of what's your first analysis? How are you feeling right now?
I feel like you can't get a better championship match than that. You just can't. What an amazing pay-per-view as a whole. I guess we start, work our way backwards. I mean, it's amazing to manage someone who loses playing a perfect game. There's going to be a lot of talk about this one, and I already know where this is going, but I want to say right up front, it's not even a matter of Sam was the better player today. Sam was just the faster player today. Correct me if I'm wrong, Frankie, but we've never seen a perfect 5-round, 100% PPE game ever in the showdown.
Right. No, that's exactly correct. Yeah.
It's huge. And I stumbling through that interview, talking about, you know, making history, corruption is a part of history. And we continue to be part of these stories that are legacy making within the showdown. So I'm so incredibly proud of Marisol and the way she performed. I'm really proud of Sam and how he came back, because it worked for him. You know what I mean? If it would be very embarrassing to step back into the ring with the talent that's here now, think you've got it, and then get a wake up call going, oh no, maybe I should have stayed retired. And he came to prove a point for himself, and he did it. And it's, I mean, what can you say? It was incredible. It was incredible to manage it. It was incredible to watch it. And I'm so proud of Marisol. She gave it her all. And we were just, I mean, you play it back and you watch that buzzer round, and Marisol's a smart player. If there's a question that she's not 100% sure about, you know, we always talk about, it's better to just keep your hand off the buzzer than risk losing a point. But there was no hesitation in every single question. She was ready to go like a millisecond behind Sam, just barely. And so it wasn't that she didn't know. It's just he was just the faster player today, and it paid off for him.
Well, one of the biggest points of the match, if not the biggest, I guess, turning point, if you will, in terms of momentum, I think, was that third question in the speed round where barely the whole sentence gets out of, you know, is spoken aloud, and Sam buzzes in. He only hears Morgan Freeman, and he makes a quick decision between Evan Almighty or Bruce Almighty. He goes with Evan Almighty, and he gets it right. Did you feel in that moment that's where the match shifted? Or because there's still a few more questions after that, but it seemed like at that moment, you know, Sam, and, you know, they were going back and forth. You know, they were tit for tat all up to that point, and he kind of lobs up a Hail Mary there. If you look at his face, he's like, ah. Evan Almighty, I guess, turns out to be correct. Do you think that was the major turning point, despite there being a couple more questions left in the speed round?
I don't know that I would call it the turning point, because, I mean, he almost blew it. And I think, if anything, Sam wanted to, I mean, and I can't speak for him. This was his decision-making throughout the speed round. But I would feel almost if he would kind of ease up a little bit and go, oh, I almost blew it. Holy crap, let me slow down. Let me pace myself a little bit. That way I don't make a grave mistake and lose myself a point here, because neither of them could afford to lose a point. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't think Marisol got taken out by that at all. I mean, I think she was impressed. I think everyone was impressed, but that was a luck pool. It wasn't, oh, you dug down deep and you found the knowledge and you got it. That was, this is either right or it's wrong. And I can't, you know, there's no turning back. He had to go all in with that answer, and he happened to pick the right one. So I don't think it was a detractor for Marisol. She's so laser focused in speed rounds. She's so good at them. But obviously it was, you know, I don't know that it swung momentum anywhere. I think they were both just so locked in on just trying to get every last point that they could. And I think Sam was nervous. He needed to capitalize, and he needed to get an edge on her. And so I told her in the match, I said, he's a gambler. I'm like, he's going to bet all in on himself. He's going all in on himself, and he's going for high stakes here. So you need to play as fast and as hard as you can. My dog agrees.
Shannon, I got to say, that was one of the best matches I've ever watched. I was so glad that I could be there for the taping of that. But one of my favorite parts about it was that you and Marisol's relationship had, like, just become my favorite part of the Schmodown right now. Uh-huh. It is so genuine and so like loyal to each other. But obviously there's a lot going on within corruption and within you, Marisol. Like, what have the conversations been? We saw one where it seemed like you're still ride or die for one another.
Yeah, we are. And everyone in corruption is. We're all ride or die for each other. And it's a weird time. It's a tough time because we still have goals. We still have things that we need to accomplish. We still have things to look forward to. And, you know, we got a big blow and it's my fault. And it's, you know what I mean? I did something stupid that I shouldn't have done. And it caused, you know, a rift, a massive rift. And Marisol is, what makes her so special is that she's very good at compartmentalizing. And she knew what job she needed to go out there and do regardless. And she did it. And the conversations are open. I mean, we're a family and it's been decided. This is family first from here on out. There's no gimmicks. There's no crap. It's just we need to keep the lines of communication open. We need to make sure that if we're feeling a certain way that they feel safe to come to me and speak on it. Or I feel safe to go to them and go, hey, I'm here's where my head's at. What do you think? I think we lost track of that a little bit. And so it's not in disrepair. But I think, how would I say this? You know, I allow my players to make mistakes because they have to. No one's perfect, right? And to err is human. And I'm a queen, but I am not a god. So I think that they give me that same grace that I've given them. And I'm not worried about the fate of corruption or where we go. We just kind of have to put our heads back on and keep moving forward. You know, there's still so much to be done.
Definitely a lot left to be done for corruption. Going back, though, to what Steph was just kind of referring to, you said Marisol's great at compartmentalizing, but obviously we all saw the emotion that was on display whenever Adam Collins kind of took the power out of your hands in no uncertain terms and decided to break away and align himself with Winston Marshall. What were the conversations, not just with Marisol, but with the entirety of corruption, Mike, Chance, and others, after Adam made that decision?
I think everyone was shocked. You know what I mean? We're used to, I'm usually the one in control of who stays and who goes. And it's not uncommon to watch me kick someone right out of our faction. Think of Bonnie, you know what I mean? Right. So everything that happened with Adam didn't feel out of left field while we were no one else was involved. This was a Shannon decision. But it didn't feel so out of left field. I think that everyone was just kind of shocked. I don't think they were expecting him to tell me no, because he's such a loyal player. He's such a loyal person. And, you know, what you see on screen or what you don't see on screen, Adam and I have a very, very close relationship. I mean, he's the first person that I talked to when we first started drafting a couple years ago, you know what I mean? So he and I feel like we had something special. And, you know, I think the general consensus over here at Corruption right now is like, you got to do what you got to do. Adam's a great player and he wants to play. And I messed with him a little too long. I played with fire and I got burned. And so he had to make a decision for him and he chose Winston and Winston invited him along. And I think people are sad. He's our study partner. He helps us a lot and we've all been there for each other from day one. So it sucks. It sucks that we let this, I keep saying we, and I have to stop saying we, because it's not we, it's me. I mess this up.
Do you think there's anything to the fact that, I mean, between Marisol, Mike, Chance, and Adam, all champions in their own right, you know, mm-hmm. Adam serving into the league, his rookie year, getting the belt, corruption, the team corruption has been team champions. Marisol was a long reigning champion up until this point. Does it get a little too crowded at the top there with all these talented individuals on corruption, where, you know, you look at last year, Chance was on a road and you played a title match between Chance and Marisol, which is, mm-hmm. I think, something that a lot of factions wish they could do. But how tough does that get between look, this is our champion right now in Marisol, whoever it may be, and we have other players that are coming up the ranks who want to get a crack at that belt. Does it ever get a little dicey in terms of managing all these egos, for better or for worse, when everyone's trying to compete for a title, especially when you have Chance, Marisol, and Adam, who could easily all win the singles belt? Does it get a little dicey? Does that in turn then, you know, feed into Adam's decision making, saying, hey, maybe if I splinter off, I'll have a more of a clear shot, maybe a little bit easier to get myself a title shot, whoever it may be?
That's a great question. I feel like you'd have to ask Adam that. Obviously, my answer would be no. There was plenty of room for multiple people in my faction to hold titles at the same time, and they did it. It's not common to have, you know, multiple players from your faction compete at the highest level for the most esteemed title that we have. And so to get Chance in that situation to begin with, which is all he's ever wanted, I mean, it's a win-win. And obviously, you know, there's a loser to that side, but I don't think anyone felt that they were being stepped on or stepped over within our faction, because again, they all, as much as they all want it, and as much as we're a family, it's still an individual effort at the end of the day, unless you're playing teams, right? But in the singles division and Intergeekdom, it's an individual effort. And so as family oriented as they are, they still have their goals in mind. And it just because you're helping one person doesn't mean you're not helping the other. And I think I was pretty good at managing expectations and managing time and making sure that anyone that was in contention for a belt around the same time felt that they were getting the attention they needed and the preparation that they deserved to go in as prepared as they could for their matches. So I don't think it was a hindrance. I don't think it was a deterrent. I think it was an embarrassment of riches to have. I'm really grateful that we were in that position for so long and that we made the best of it, because some factions wouldn't have been able to do it.
Talking about Chance, great match. He doesn't put on a great show always. Yeah. Especially with Bibs, it's like the two of them just bring out the heat in one another. And it's heartbreaking because I love Chance. And it's like, I know you definitely do. And you watch him lose, and he does deserve to win in so many ways. But I know he like seemed really fired up in the post interview to get back to hopefully taking Bibs. But what was your conversations like post-match?
Chance is probably the most resilient person on Corruption. I would attribute it to his youth or just his determination, but it's just who Chance Ellison is. He doesn't have time to get down. He doesn't have time to feel bad for himself. He does. He'll give himself about 5 minutes. And then he's like, all right, let's get back in this. And that's hard to do. You know, it's like kids on the beach where like they go in the cold water and they don't get out until their parents tell them to, and their fingers are, you know, wrinkled and their lips are blue. They have no fear. They have no inhibition. They're just like, this is cool, I'm in the water. Whereas like adults were like, oh my God, it's freezing, I can't even jump in. Like, I'm going to go lay back on the beach. Do you know what I mean? Chance just has no fear. He has no inhibition. He's just here to do what he loves to do. And I get nervous because I wonder how much his heart can take, because he's so good and he deserves everything. He deserves everything. He's the rock. He's the hardest worker in the room. You know what I mean? And where he falls short, it's bizarre. I don't, because there's no massive holes in Chance's game. There's no slice or category that he's like, oh no, this is going to ruin me if I spin this. He's just such a comprehensive player. So to see the 5-pointers that he'll miss or areas that he may overthink or you know, grab the wrong answer, it's so rare for him, and it's just so bizarre because there's no pattern to it. There's nothing to pick apart and go, okay, Chance, here's what we need to work on, because this has been a repetitive issue for you. So and he knows that. He knows that it's just luck at the end of the day. He pulls the wrong number and that happens, but I know it's frustrating for him. He puts on a brave face for me, but I know it eats away at him. I know it's frustrating, but I know he's determined, and I know he's not going to quit, and I won't let him. I can't.
To go back real quick, I mean, and of course, while we're actually on Chance, let me just say, I've always believed in that kid. You know, early, I was an early adopter. I bought all the Chance stuff early. I was on the ground
floor. The IPO, he's right there. Revolutionary.
Right.
And it has a few times. I expect it to pay in dividends. But I wanted to touch real quick back on the title match with Marisol and with Sam. When Sam obviously announces that he's coming back, of course, you have to immediately think that he's a threat because the way he left the league as a double champion. But when you found out he was going to be the number one contender, what were the study sessions like? Because sure, you can go watch game tape on him. But that's from several years ago and the game's evolved so much since then. Did you find it, and did Marisol find it difficult to prepare for this opponent?
No, I mean, Marisol is very strategic in how she preps, and she has our support in doing what she needs to do, but it's not about Sam. That match wasn't about Sam for us. It was about Marisol. So we know there's really not much Sam can't do, if anything. I managed alongside of him, you know, opposite of him. And so I see that he never lost it. He never lost it. He couldn't even fake it that he lost it. He couldn't even sit in the back of a match and pretend like he was surprised. I mean, he knows his stuff. This is in his brain, and it never left. So we knew it was going to be tough. We knew it was going to be a challenge, but we also knew that we could do it and a little bit faster than we would have, but I digress. There's nothing to change. It's how Marisol studies, and she knows that Sam is good at everything. So there's nothing you can do with that. You just have to go in and prepare for your best game and make sure that you're as equipped as you could possibly be. So the focus wasn't how do we prepare for Sam? It's how do we get Marisol at a level where she feels confident going out there and swinging big, because that's what Sam's going to do. So that's the only strategy, was you have to go big. You got to go big or you got to go home, because Sam's not going to come in there and play light against you.
So now let's talk about futures, though, here. Because you still have, of course, the Inner Geekdom Champion of the World, one of, if not the greatest player of all time, 1A, 1B, right, Frank?
Right.
Mike Kalinowski.
Tireless debate.
Who is obviously going to be looking to defend that title, of course. Mike is a part of the collective with Chance as far as corruption, always in the swing of things. And I'm sure Marisol is hungry now. So where do we go from here?
We go right back to the books, man. Mm-hmm. we go right back to where we were. You know what I mean? Mike's got a huge match. I don't know who he's playing. I don't know when he's playing. I don't know what's going on with it. But he's ready. He's ready. He's stayed ready. Mike is in a headspace that I haven't seen him in a long time. And I'm very excited to see everything that happens for him this season, because I think he's just found his groove. I think he's found where he's happiest and where he's most comfortable and where he's playing at a level that is going to defend a belt. You know what I mean? I'm not nervous about anyone, be it Smets or Chandru or whoever wants to step up to that plate. I mean, Mike's just, he's a different dude. He's just a different dude. And I'm so proud of him, and I'm so excited for him. And we got corruption still together. So, you know what I mean? I may not have deception, but I still have my ace in the holes. You know what I mean? I've still got corruption, and they're not far away from a title shot either. You know what I mean? They're the only ones who have taken Shazam through the ringer the way that they did. So I wouldn't count them out, and who knows what's coming up for them, but we just stay ready. We stay ready. That's all we can do.
What's been the thing that's gotten Mike's groove back and made, like, leveled up his groove? Because like, you spoke like he's having more fun, but what initiated that? Like, just being back in studio?
I think, if I can be candid, if I can be honest, corruption as a whole, and this isn't just Mike, it's everyone. I just think that we're at a point, and it's only been a couple years, so we're not done doing the work, but I feel like we're just in a place where we don't have anything to prove. We're not desperate for titles. We're not desperate for records. We don't need anything to show the world how great we are as a faction, as individual players, as a unit, right? We've accomplished that, and we've put the stamp on it 2 years in a row now. So I feel like the pressure to prove our worth, or for Mike to prove that he's the greatest Inner Geekdom player of all time, or for Corruption to prove that they're a top three or a top five team of all time, I don't think they feel that they owe that to anyone anymore. I don't feel that they're in a place where they have to prove it. I don't feel like I'm in a place where I have to push Corruption. Corruption is a dynasty team. They've made history. They've expanded upon history. and they're still playing at absolutely elite levels. So that need to prove, or that not even the need, the desire to prove our worth, I think is taking a back seat. And now we can just relax in all of the things that we built and just have fun with it.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Why not? We deserve it. We earned it. We've worked so hard, you guys. We've worked so hard. We've been through so much.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. Getting to the top is difficult. Staying at the top is even more difficult. And corruption since y'all's inception has been the preeminent faction and the predominant faction in the league. For the entirety of the time, y'all have shouldered the responsibility of being the elite. And it's been a pleasure to watch, and I'm just excited now to see what the next step is, because I know Marisol McKee is ready to become a two-time champion. I know Chance is just waiting there. I mean, Chance Ellison, going back to New York, was so ready to become champion then. Even though it meant he had to defeat somebody who he cared so much about, he was so ready to become champion that night. I think that even though it seems like a bad start to the season in some regard, right? You don't want to lose your champion. You don't want to lose a player, but
yeah,
y'all've got so much.
Season just started.
And I think people are so quick to jump down our throats, and it's like, this is just part of our thing, I guess. We just come out the gate and, you know, we take a couple stumbles early and then we get our footing and then we breeze through and everything's great. So I trust that it's going to be a wonderful season for us. It sucks not having Adam there. But I feel like, you know, Adam, if you're listening, like, you know, if you ever, ever said, Shannon, I want back in, I want to come home, the door's open. We have an open door policy for Adam Collins. Everyone on this faction loves him and respects him, and he's welcome back home anytime he wants. And with that, it's just, you know, I lost my train of thought. Now I'm thinking about Adam and I'm sad again.
It's okay. We're not going to beat you up too much more, because obviously you have to get back to your team. You got to get ready for what comes next. Of course, always thank you for joining us here on the Schmodown Rundown. And we wish you the best in Corruption's future endeavors.
That's the first time anyone's ever said that to me, that they wish me the best. So thank you. I'm going to take that. I'm going to put it under my pillow, and I'm just going to ride that one out for a while and let that soak in.
The queen of corruption, Shannon Barney. Shannon, thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. Good night.
Thank you.
And we are back here on the Schmodown Rundown. Of course, we want to thank Shannon Barney, the leader of corruption, for enlightening us on her aspect and view, her view of tonight's events. Of course, we still got to talk about Chance and Bibbs. We're going to break it down a little bit. Frank, why don't you run down the stats? And then after you run down the stats, I'm going to let Steph weigh in on her thoughts here.
Okay. Well, look at round one.
Yes.
Bibbs and Chance tied up at 8. And Bibbs defers in the second round to Chance. He gets Kevin Smith. He goes 4 of 5 for a total of 8 points. Bibbs, he ends up on historical epics and dramas. He takes it, and he nearly goes perfect. He gets 4 out of 5 that last question. He couldn't pull it, but Chance does get a steal on that. So Chance is actually up 17-16 on Bibbs. And then in the final round, Bibbs goes perfect, 2, 3, and 5. His 5-pointer, a real doozy there. Romeo and Juliet, you know, the whole, I mean, incredible pull from Bibbs, as he's done in the past, right? But then Chance, he gets a real, real tough 5-pointer for him, and he's unable to pull it, and once again loses to Bibbs, whether it's 1-on-1, whether it's Corruption versus Shazam, for whatever reason. Chance cannot get over the hump when he's playing William Bibbiani. And Bibbs ends up winning 26-22. That's your final. They both went 15 of 19 in terms of questions. Obviously, the 5-pointer is the difference there for Bibbs and Chance. But a really great undercard match. Another, you know, corruption, you know, players undercard and the main event. But the Bees coming away with the win there. And it's tough for Chance because this is now his second consecutive loss. Obviously, he played Marisol for the title, lost that one, played Bibbs here, lost this one. It's tough. I know, Brad, we talked about with Shannon a little bit, you know, buyers of the chance stock, but I gotta tell you, I don't know. Especially when it comes to his singles career. I don't know. He's 7-6 now.
Don't say those words. But Steph, what was your opinion or your thoughts on the contest as it were? As it is.
I wouldn't count Chance out. It's tough because I really like Bibbs and Chance. And so I would never root for one of them to lose. But I did feel myself thinking like it would be great if Chance won. Yes. And it's like every time you watch Chance play, you feel like he's going to win. And then that might be like the turning point of his record, like turning to more wins than losses. But yeah, it's a bummer. And it's a bummer because I think it adds more pressure to him now because of some of the conversations that we've seen happening with corruption and Shazam and Christian. Because right now it's like he does have the teams and it does seem he's better in teams, but like what happens if they lose?
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I was kind of with you. Like, I don't like to say I'm rooting for one person or another, but I did. I was like, man, I just want Chance to get this one done.
Yeah.
It really was pulling for him in this
because
match.
Because Bibbs has Shazam and they're the best team of all time. Ever.
He's a former singles champion. I mean, of course, Corruption, they're former teams champions. So Chance has had gold around his waist or shoulder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or however you want to sport.
Not currently.
Yeah, but he doesn't have anything currently. And I think he's got singles potential as champion.
How can we really say that, though? Right, because he's 7-6, Brad. He's 7-6.
How can I say that?
He's 7-6. He's one game above 500. He's one game above 500.
How can I say that? He competed for a singles championship last
and lost. Season. And he lost.
Okay, he lost, but he got to the dance. You're telling me that the other team who loses the Super Bowl
but then, worthy of being. But then he just played a former singles champion and lost. He just played another
finish
and lost.
Look, hey man, I don't appreciate your tone. All right.
I'm just saying, we gotta be realistic. Is this ever gonna happen for Chance? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. But it could.
But I'm leaning more towards probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen for Chance
and
singles.
I'm so glad that we added Steph to this show.
Yeah, because believe me, you're going to need the backup, buddy.
Frank, I know your mother.
And she's a wonderful woman. Breathing.
She is an incredible human
and she's
being.
Probably watching right now, so you better be watching.
Appreciate the way that you're talking to me.
Okay, Frank's mom.
She might appreciate it.
Moms love me.
It's true. My mom said, "That's a great addition." I was like, "Yeah, I love
come
it."
Come on.
Yeah.
You know what?
But nonetheless, I don't know that this is going to happen for Chance. I don't know if this is going to happen for him this year. I mean, you take a look at who he's going to have to try and somehow get through. If he can't get through Bibbiani, who, by the way, hasn't been to a former title shot in quite a long time.
Former singles champion, one half of the greatest teams champions of all time. I think he's the A player on that team. No disrespect to the Cabroni.
I'm not denying Chance is a pretty good to great player. Absolutely. With a 7-6 record, though, it starts to get a little suspect in terms of can he actually win a singles belt? I don't know, because you're not going to get one of those rinky-dink wins over JTE because JTE happened to beat Adam Collins, and then you face JTE, and then JTE's not on his game. JTE got TKO'd by Brendan Meyer, right? And that's Chance's last win, I believe, or is it Snyder win? Either way, it ain't that great. I don't know. He's got a long road. This is a major setback for Chance.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's a setback. It's a setback.
Not just a setback, a major setback.
Okay. Frank, because I was meeting you halfway.
Chance came into this match ranked 7th. He's not going to be in the top 10 after this.
Okay.
Sorry.
Damn.
Minor setback.
There's Griffey Noom's still out there, right?
That's a comeback.
Dan Merle still out there. Ethan Irwin still out there. Bibbiani, who he just lost to, right up there. That's four other people. And not to mention Marisol and Sam Levine. You mean to tell me he's better than those people right now? I don't think so.
Look, if you go on YouTube, you can see Frank Janish doing the Hot Ones Wing Challenge.
It's true.
Right? And guess what? I think you must be reliving that moment because you're talking real spicy right now, Janice.
I'm just saying. This is a huge setback for Chance.
I don't appreciate it. Listen. Don't appreciate it. Now, look.
Is Chance better than the Barbarian? Maybe.
Well, they're both coming off losses.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what I thought.
What was that? A little head fake, a little head deke.
It reminds me. I saw Save the Last Dance today. Haven't seen that in forever.
Great movie.
Talking about rewatch it. Report back to me. Julia Stiles Julia Stiles at that time was the it girl. Totally here for it. 10 Things I Hate About You. One of my favorite movies of all time.
That era, I think, was just
phenomenal. Should not have been cast as a lead dancer. just speaking.
Well, I guess that's probably true.
Do you know? I was always out on Julia Stiles. I was always out. Never
really.
Not about it.
Never bought in.
It was either you were either Julia Stiles or Kirsten Dunst. I think you were one or the other, probably.
Stock wasn't high for me on either one. I mean, wow. Price.
Not the price. Same as your Chance stock.
Well, look, they were over-evaluated. Right, exactly. The evaluation was too high.
The valuation was too high.
And that's how I felt. You know me? Because what were we talking about? We're talking about like mid-2000s, right? Or early 2000s?
Early.
When you say The Last Dance, what year am I talking?
I don't even want to guess. I'm going to guess 03. 03, 04? Say The Last Dance.
Somewhere in that range. What do we got?
01.
Damn,
I was off by a year.
01? Okay. Like if we were in 04, you know what? 01, 02, 03, 04. If I'm looking at that first 5 years in 2000 and I'm talking like an it girl, early 20s-ish.
Yeah.
Look, I went all in on Jessica Alba.
You and me both, brother.
Honey?
Here's the thing about Blue? Honey, though. Jessica Alba also, bless her soul, now has $1 million-plus beautiful beauty empire. She's a great actress, not a good dancer. Not a great dancer.
I got to go revisit Honey. I remember.
Me and Brad have to do some research on this.
Yeah. This is the power of the P, though, because these women had us so hypnotized that we were like, it doesn't matter if you're not that great of a dancer. I buy in the fact that you're professional.
Damn, that's true. I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go revisit that. I'm not ready to say that she wasn't a great dancer because my memory says that she was phenomenal.
She's better than Julia Stiles. Yeah.
That's not saying much.
Okay.
That's like saying Fruity Pebbles are better than a rice patty. You know what I mean? One's got a little bit more flavor.
Yeah. What a contrast. But yes, I get what you're going for. Oh my God. Oh my God. Brad, you have any other thoughts on this Bibbs Chance match?
Bibbs had a meta entrance, and that is something that I could see coming from a mile away.
There it is.
I feel like that was a good spot for it.
Yeah, that was good.
Let's talk about Ben Bateman and Kate, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, definitely. Okay. You guys, you know that I'm like a newer fan to the Schmodown, so I'm like getting in on all the tea. I'm eating it up. Absolutely love it. You know this. Is there something I'm missing? Who are they talking about?
Yeah, I don't think we know. And I think that was the darn tease that they left. I don't know. I mean, he could challenge anybody. So
you have like we have no ideas as a squad.
I think squad's
strong normally.
Let me take a look at the roster.
Talk about it, Frank. Let's think about it.
Because Bateman's not even in the top 10. He's not even ranked in the top 10. And by the way, for those watching and listening, there was a ranking that was put out earlier in the week on the socials, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook. So this is where I'm getting the rankings from because they're not on the website right now. or at all. And right now, I think the way it's situated is Ben's just outside of the top 10. So that's going to put him in areas of, we got Kevin Smith, JTE, Lon Harris, Kalinowski, Liz Shannon Miller, Paige even. That's kind of within the top 20. I don't know if he can really challenge anybody in the top 10 at the moment, but you know, there's obviously Chance out there. He's going to drop down, but I don't think he'll probably play Chance. Doesn't make sense for the back-to-back weeks. There could be Rick Raddis. Again, Kevin Smith, JTE. JTE would be very interesting.
JTE just played.
He did just play.
I like
right.
Paige. I like Raddis.
A rematch with Paige would be interesting.
Rematch with Paige.
Yeah.
That would be fly.
Yeah, because Paige is underrated. I feel like some people put respect on her name, but she, like, I remember when she played Griffey Newman, and Griffey was like, you were the hardest person to prep for because you don't really have a real weakness. You just have a bunch of strengths. And, like, that's how I feel about her. And I think that her and Bateman, like, people were like, it's an upset. And, like, granted, it was, I guess, for, like, rankings at the time.
Yeah.
But not really in terms of the caliber of player she is.
Sure.
Yeah, I think if we're going based off this challenging model, I think Paige probably makes the most sense for Bateman to challenge. Like, he wants to get revenge on that loss, right? So I think
that, like, ruined his season, basically.
Yeah, it really did. Not just ruined, ended his season. I mean,
ended it, yes.
Oh yeah.
Just and, like, derailed the dungeon plans for winning the faction race and all that. So, yeah, it was a pretty devastating loss. But I think perhaps the smart money might be on him challenging Paige or someone like of that.
Or at least someone who's still, like, I'm not thinking he's gonna go after any, like, long term vets. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think he's gonna go.
Huh. You know, do you think he could go against anyone from the dungeon? Like, do you think he'll go anyone like he's had, like, familial ties with? Like, no chance of Dan.
The Dan one would be interesting.
That's a pretty ballsy call.
But I think the only way he would ever want to play Dan, though, is in a title match, maybe a number one contender. Really, I think that's the only areas he would ever want to play Dan in, because first of all, if you challenge Dan Merle, you're insane. First of all,
you got a set of bangers and mash.
I don't know if that was used correctly, but I'll believe it.
Yeah. Sounded intense.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to next week then to see what comes of that.
I like him and Kate's vibe, though. They, like, seem like they're up to no good.
Yeah, Kate's all
right. Yeah, they're mischievous.
Yeah.
Very menace-like.
Yeah. She was like, what did she start with? Like, oh, he's such a dick. What was she like?
Something like that.
This is a family show, so we're referring to Spotted Dick, which is a delicacy across the pond.
Or I was talking about Richard.
The movie, Fun with Dick
nickname.
And
Jay. Yeah.
Richard, as in King Richard III.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, King Richard, have you seen that movie yet? King Richard?
Excellent.
It's really good. Really good. I liked it a lot.
Is Will going to get it done this Sunday? Are we going to do it?
Yeah.
I think he might for that. Yeah. I think
he might. Yeah. Oh, I would be very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
I would be singing Wild Wild West in Miami.
Wicked Wild, Wicked Wild, Wicked Wicked Wild.
Men in Black, the Galaxy Defenders. Like, yeah. I'd bump Will Inium and Lost and Found. Those are albums by Will Smith. Yeah.
That's incredible. Hey,
Will Smith had a song called If You Can't Dance, Slide.
Yeah.
Gee, I mean, wow.
Anyone can slide. He's for the people.
That's all you got to do.
Hey, guys, I want to ask you.
Julia Stiles,
I want to ask you, now that Shannon's not here, what did you really think of the interaction between Shannon and Marisol? I don't know.
What do you mean?
Because I feel like Shannon is trying to possibly appease Marisol, especially now that Adam has jumped ship, that she does not want to lose Marisol. But perhaps Shannon is playing this role to try and keep Marisol close, because if she gets a little too far into her corruption ways, then she'll lose Marisol, and she doesn't want that. I don't know.
I think that would be, it's fair to bring up because I think that there has been a huge energy shift in corruption in general. So I kind of, but that would be insane. Like that would be absolutely nuts if she, to me, that felt like one of the most real conversations we've seen. Like it was like, I was like, am I watching HBO Max? Like this felt like very emotional.
Very well. It was a really great scene.
Felt like an episode of Euphoria. Well, no, it didn't.
Okay.
Man who's not watched Euphoria.
Clearly.
Whew. Yeah. Did he even finish the sentence? He goes, no, never mind.
No. Trying to make the connection. Couldn't do it.
See, no. Here's the thing, Brad. Man's too hot because you went 2 for 2 with the Fruity Pebbles comment. And you had one other before that was banging. And then this one, I think you got a little too confident about.
Yeah.
Flew a little close to the sun.
It's like the finale, you know, where Rue was crying at her father's.
Bro, spoilers. Spoilers, bro. People are out there, you know, trying to catch up.
I don't watch the show. I watch 2 minutes with Pharaoh. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Other than Zendaya plays a character named Rue, and I saw her cry. Yeah, I'm sure that's a common occurrence. Mm-hmm. It's more like Bel Air.
Have you watched Bel Air?
No.
I was going to say, is that out, A and B? Have you seen it?
It is out. Okay. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it, Steph?
No, I don't have Peacock. Other than I like sometimes watch Mark on Peacock, but I don't have Peacock. I bootleg.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay.
No, you can't bootleg. I just use someone's password.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's
I'm using LimeWire, so don't judge me.
The LimeWire.
LimeWire. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yep. I was always a BearShare kind of guy.
Yeah, BearShare back in the day.
Ooh. Okay, we've come to the conclusion of this show today.
Yeah,
when we're talking about illegal downloading, I think we've come to the conclusion of this iteration of the rundown.
I've come.
Everything I said was fake, so for the feds, you didn't catch me. No face, no case.
Damn! Look at that.
That's at Steph Sabraw on the socials, at FrankieJ29. At Brad Gilmore, this is the only show that matters. And anybody else, look, here's the thing. I'm not looking for the schmoke, but I'll gladly take it.
Knock if you bug.
Any of you after shows, y'all can do what this happened, what we did today. Bam. See you next week.